going to give you a test. Are you ready? I want you to name the last three Heisman Trophy winners. The last three Academy Award winners. Okay, let me give you another test. Name three teachers that helped you through your journey in school. What about three friends that helped you through some difficult times in your life? See, the point of it is God will choose people that aren't necessarily the ones that are most talented. He will choose a Mary.
Aloha and mele kalikimaka. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. This week, we're going to be looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of two individuals, Mary and Joseph. Today, Pastor Wayne will give us some insight into the heart of Mary and why God selected her to be the mother of the Christ child. That message will be coming up in just a moment, a message entitled, The Faith of Mary. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of favorite Christmas carols from New Hope. Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Faith of Mary.
Hey, let's take out our notes, would you? As we begin a short Christmas series, we'll be talking about the faith of Mary today. And then next week, the faith of Joseph. And then we're going to continue with the Christmas story. We're going to be featuring the three wise men, all from Portugal. And also, where else would they come from? And even Herod. So, that's China. And so we will, no, but we'll be talking about the Christmas story. Up in Oregon, I was doing the college, and so, and by the way, it's going well as we establish a place for leaders to be coming out of the pipeline. And as you know, I'm thinking about what's the best use of my fleeting days up ahead. What can I best be used for in New Hope? And I thought, you know, I'd like to start building leaders for tomorrow, because soon the churches will turn over. In fact, in the next 10 years, by the way, they say one-third of the pulpits of America will be changed because of the baby boomer pastors retiring over the next 10 years. And one-third of the churches, if you count that up numerically, that's 140,000 pulpits will need new leadership. And so I'm thinking, then, what is the best thing that I can do for this wonderful movement of churches? And so I needed to move out on the front edge to start building leaders for tomorrow. Otherwise, we won't have them, or we'll just put whoever is available in, and it will decrease the caliber of leadership. So I thought that's the best thing that I can do. And so that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm going back and forth. Thanks for your understanding. And I really want what's best for this wonderful movement of New Hope churches. And our pastors are doing great. Sam Kapu and Elwin and all of the others. I think they should all just deserve a big hand of applause. Would you? But I was up in Oregon, and I noticed on Black Friday, they start on Gray Thursday. Because, like, the malls and things open, like, some of them at midnight. Did you know that? And so at 10 o'clock on the Thursday night after Thanksgiving, you think people are full of turkey. They're doing the turkey drop somewhere, sleeping it off. But instead, there's these people that lines go around Walmart. Another line went around Target 10 and 11 o'clock Thursday night. And I thought, this is crazy. And it was in the 30s, the degree 30s. Well, the next day I was having a haircut, and the lady that was cutting my hair mentioned that she was in one of those lines. I said, you're kidding. I said, how long were you in line? She said, 3 hours. I said, 3 hours? I hope it was worth it. By the time you got to Target, they gave you like a 52-inch plasma screen for $3.99 or something like that. And after a mail-in rebate, I hope they sent you a Cadillac Escalade. She said, oh, no, but you know what I did get? I said, what? She said, I got something for my nephew. I said, what was this? A pony? A quarter horse? What? She said, I got him a Thomas Train video for $5. I said, no. That's fantastic. A Thomas Train video for $5. I couldn't believe it. You know, and these lines are, the only other time I saw a line that long was when they were filming, it was the making of American Idol, and thousands of kids were in line for like a day. They were waiting in line. We have an affinity for lines here in America. And I remember one of the guys was interviewed, and he said, I've been training 2 years for this moment. I want them to choose me, choose me. I said, 2 years? He said, this, I live for this moment. Well, later on, he wasn't chosen, and they interviewed him, and he's crying and crying. And I thought, you know, ultimately, it's going to be out of thousands of people, there's just going to be one winner. One will be chosen by Simon Cowell, the viewers, Paula Abdul, and the other one, Aaron Elwin Ahu. Yeah. But I was thinking about these lines and people rushing to get something for them. And I thought, you know what? This Christmas season, you know what I think the message really is with all the lines and everything? The message really is not who men choose, but it's really who God chooses. I want to talk about that. In fact, you can write it in. That's one of the things we'll talk about, who God chooses. We're going to talk about Mary. Someone who probably one out of a billion women at that time, God chose one woman. And she didn't have celebrity status. Nope. But he chose her for his purposes. And in fact, this whole message today will be summed up in the scripture right at the top of your notes. Would you read it with me? Go. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own. That's right. A young lady named Mary, of all the women in the world, through which God would reveal Jesus to a needy world. And she wasn't a singer, she wasn't a dancer, she wasn't a shopper, she wasn't an athlete, and she didn't have celebrity status, yet he chose Mary through which he would reveal his son. The reason we want to talk about Mary today is this. You know, people in the world today can see Christmas trees and beautiful lights twinkling, tinsel, bow, and they'll stay the same. But once people in this world get a true glimpse of Jesus and come in contact with him, their lives are changed forever. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says these things that were written in the Bible were really written, not as historical stories, but they were written for our behalf, for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. In other words, the story of Mary today is not a historical infomercial of what took place long ago. It really is something that God is saying, I did this then and I'm still doing it today. In other words, I think God is still looking for Marys through whom he will reveal his son Jesus. Because that's what Christmas is really all about. It can get covered over with tinsel and bone. It's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But to miss what Christmas is all about, he's looking for a people who have the character qualities and the prerequisites of a Mary that he can choose through which he will reveal Jesus. Because once people see Jesus this Christmas season, they'll be changed forever. I was talking with a businessman the other week, and we were having lunch, and we were talking about business and the economy, and I enjoy talking about the economy and what's going around and the economic landscape of economy. And so we talked about his children, and I knew his wife, and she was just one of my youth group kids. And so we had talked and talked and talked, and it was just great where he was. He had gone through a few divorces, but his business was doing well. And right in the middle of the breakfast, I stopped and I said, but how are you doing with Jesus? And he said, what? I said, how are you doing with Jesus? I mean, that part of your life. This part's going good. How are you doing here? And he got really quiet. I said, how are you doing with God? And big tears started to come to his eyes. And he kept saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't do this usually. I don't do this. I said, it's all right. You see, when people get a touch from Jesus, their lives change. Something happens. And I was thinking, God is still wanting to reveal his son to a needy world today, and he's looking for Marys. And even as he chose her, he's still choosing people. Would he choose you? That's what we want to talk about as we talk about the faith of Mary. She wasn't someone with celebrity status. I'm going to give you a test. Are you ready? I know you're excited. Are you ready? Okay, here's a test. Here it is. Just in your head now. Just in your head. I want you to name the last three Heisman Trophy winners. Okay, you got them. Okay, then try this one. The last three Miss Americas. Okay, how's about this one? The last three Academy Award winners. Okay, let me give you another test. I sense you didn't do very well on that first one by the blank looks that you have. Okay. But I bet you'd do better in this test. Name three teachers that helped you through your journey in school, just encouraged you. What about three friends that helped you through some difficult times in your life? Can you name them? What about three people that made you feel special through a word or a note or a hug or an embrace? Yeah, see, you do a lot better. See, the point of it is God will choose people who will make a difference in your life that aren't necessarily the ones that are most talented, the ones that men choose, the ones with the most trophies, the ones with the most celebrity status. He will choose a Mary. Let me read to you part of the Christmas story. It comes out of Luke chapter 1, and you can just kind of listen to it. It says this, starting in the 26th verse of Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And he was sent to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, Gabriel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor among women with God. He chose you. He chose you. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And he will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth, your cousin, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing shall be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. The only problem is that Mary already had a plan. She was going to get married. Joseph had just proposed to her on bended knee, gave her a huge babucha ring, cubic zirconium, and he had a kicking engagement party, and they were both singing, "Going to the chapel, and we're gonna get married." And then comes Gabriel. And Gabriel says, "God has another plan." Another plan? Has God ever given you another plan than the one you had? You ever wrestle with him when he does that? All the time. All the time. And often we win. Mary didn't wrestle. She said, "Be it done to me according to your word. I am a handmaiden of the Lord." And I looked at that and I thought, that's why God chose you, wasn't it? That's why. You see, I was thinking about this and I was saying, "God, why did you choose Mary? Tell me out of this. Tell me, give me some hints. Because I bet you're still choosing Marys through which your son will be revealed to men and women at this Christmas. Or maybe your own kids. Or maybe your neighbors. But God knows that if our sons and daughters see not my words and my authority, but if they sense the presence of Christ and Jesus is revealed to them, their lives change. We want to be those people through whom not I speak, but God speaks. So that when someone in our place of business or our neighborhood needs to hear from God, would they choose you? See, God's still looking for Marys through whom his son can be revealed. And I was thinking, Lord, what are some of the things? And I noticed that when Gabriel said to Mary, "We've got another plan," she didn't wrestle, she didn't fight, she didn't argue. She just simply said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." And I thought, what? It's like she was prepared. And then I thought, she was. You see, she had wrestled with things of God, submitted her heart to God, and won and passed the tests before the tests even arrived. She had convictions deep in her heart that almost as if she said, "If God ever spoke to me about, I would do it. If God said, I'm there." And when God did, she was. She didn't wait until God asked, "What are you doing in this situation? What are you doing with this guy or with this girl? Why are you cutting corners? Why are you compromising?" And then we fail. But if we rewind the tape and say, "If I ever got into those situations, this is what I'm going to do. These are some convictions I have." Because when you get there and the test hits, it's too late to wrestle. You have to have wrestled it over here. And I thought, that's why you chose Mary, wasn't it? Because she understood and she was prepared for the word of God. She had already answered the tests. She didn't wait to decide if which side she was going to jump on. She had already decided here. And I thought, ah, that's it. It was like the story of the worship in this church was done. And after the final crescendo ended, the pastor was yet to walk up to the podium. And in just that moment between worship and prayer, one person here said, "Yes, Lord." Another one, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes." And then almost in rapid fire, people were saying, "Yes, Lord." And then the pastor came up to the big wooden pulpit, put his hands on the edges and said, "Let's pray." And everyone bowed their head and he said, "Lord, you done heard our answer in advance." of whatever you ask, our answer has already been declared. It is yes. And I thought, you know, Mary had a yes heart. And I'm wondering if God isn't looking for those that already have a yes heart. Not a maybe heart. Not if it's good for me. Not if it doesn't change me. Not if it's not painful. It's yes. Whatever you ask, God, it's yes. And Gabriel said, that's the one I'm going to, right, God? God said, that's the one. Out of about a billion women, that's the one. That's the one that I want to reveal my son, and I will reveal my son through. Because when people see Jesus, their lives will be transformed forever. And I thought, I bet God's still looking for Mary's this Christmas. And so I thought, that's it. You see, would you write in number one, Mary had established God values in her life that were immovable. God values, I call them. Convictions. And when I know, I take a look at people that have marked my life, and I notice that their lives were also marked with certain convictions. Convictions about their marriage, convictions about their family, about their morality, about not deceiving, not cutting corners. Well, it doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, but they've established a calibration monitor that when we mess up, we know what to calibrate back to. But if you don't have those convictions and you go gunny bags, you don't know what to calibrate back to. I just know I'm lost. I don't know how to be found. But when you establish certain convictions in your life based on God's word, we can make a few mistakes here and there, but you understand we're recalibrating all the time and we are being changed from glory to glory into His image. Not the world's image, because that's what will happen. If you don't have a clean, clear recalibration point where you're zeroing your meters back to, you're going to recalibrate to something and it'll be the newest trend, the latest celebrity, the latest American Idol, whatever it might be. The Lord is saying, I created you in my image. And if you'll get that down, you'll be able to find your way back home again and again. And it's those that have established those convictions that will find their way back. And when people are looking for direction, they're going to look for people that have a sense of where that pathway is, because they themselves have watched you find it over and over again. And when they need the same, they'll look for you. They're still looking for, God's still looking for Mary's, through which He will reveal His Son. Otherwise, we miss Christmas. The world? Nope. We miss Christmas. The non-Christians? Nope. We miss Christmas. And He's still looking for Mary's. Mary's with yes hearts. Here, I'll give you another test. Are you ready? You did so well on the first one. I'm going to give you about four convictions that, see if you can fill in the blanks and see how you fare on these, all right? Here are some convictions that I want to encourage you to establish. And the first is this. The Bible, that's okay. The Bible will be my infallible guidebook for living. Write that in. The Bible will be my infallible, and the word is guidebook. For living. You see, the reason this has to be my infallible guidebook, my driver's manual for life, is because there are some days I really love to follow God. I really do. But, to be honest, there are some days I don't. I know it really bothers you and it just shakes you out of your composure, but there are some days that I really don't want to follow God because my flesh is wanting to go another way. How many of you say the same thing you wrestle with? Raise your hand. Yeah, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. All right. But you know, the days I really want to follow God, easy. But you know what? When I really need this? On the days when I don't want to follow God. I gotta ratchet back to this. And even though my flesh is fighting me, I say, I gotta stick with this because the word of our God abideth forever. And my flesh for about 20 minutes. And that changes. His word never changes. So when I am in a fluctuating season, what must I gravitate to? That which never changes. And that will guide your life.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Faith of Mary by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Mele Kalikimaka, this is Pastor Wayne Cordero of Words of New Hope. Our wish for you this year is that this Christmas will find you near the manger so that you will see his face, his countenance, and see how wonderful he is.